Israel. For we know that when you bring a curse upon men, it comes to pass. What you say will be done. So the men come to Balaam. They're loaded down with rewards. And now Balaam said, before I go with you, I have to consult with God. He goes in, and when God asks him the question, who are these men with you? He tells him. And then the Bible says, he asks, shall I go with them? And God, with a resounding voice, said, no, don't go. He comes back. He tells them, I can't go. God said for me not to go. So the princes come back to King Balak and says to King Balak, Balaam can't come. Balaam said God will not let him come. And so what does King Balak do? He wants Balaam. He sends choicer, more influential men with rewards and telling Balaam, if you'll come, here's what's going to happen to you. I'm going to exalt you. I'll honor you. I'll give you all these rewards. Just come and curse the people of God, the Israelites. And so Balaam goes back after these men comes. And he asked God, and God said, go with them. But there's one thing you ought to remember, and that is, you say what I put in your mouth. You don't say anything except what I tell you to say. And so he goes. And remember his encounter with the donkey that spoke to him on the way? But when he comes before Balak, Balaam now is interested in what? Is interested in doing something for what he's going to get. He wants the money. He wants the reward. He wants the honor. And now then, he tells Balak what he is to do. He says, build 7 altars. And on these altars we shall offer these animals that God has mentioned. And he says that as a result of such, then I'll come before you. We'll look at the children of Israel, and in short, I will curse them for you. Why would a man do that who knows that God is not a man to lie or tell him something differently? Well, they go out, they do that, the sacrifices are made, and what does Balaam do? He stands up, and instead of cursing the children of Israel, the words that come forth out of his mouth are words of blessings for the children of Israel. And boy, Balak is so mad. He's so angry. He said, I got you here to curse the children of Israel, and everything that comes out of your mouth is for you to encourage and exalt the children of Israel. Well, Balak said, let's go over to another section. I'll show you just a fraction of the children of Israel. Now then, they'll build again the altars. They'll make their sacrifices. And again, when Balaam begins to speak, everything that comes out of his mouth is a blessing for the children of Israel. Instead of 4 times. 4 times. And finally, Balak said, in reality, shut up now. Leave. Get out. What you're doing is not to benefit me. My friend, let me tell you something. What did Balaam want out of all of this? He wanted a reward. He wanted a reward. He wanted to be honored. And the Bible tells us concerning his life that, you know what? He wasn't serving God in the sense of doing it with the right kind of motive. Though when he spoke that which was truth, yet his heart was not in it because he wanted to be rewarded. As a matter of fact, 3 other times in the Bible we have references to Balaam. Peter compares false teachers to Balaam, who love the wages of wickedness in 2 Peter 2, verse 15. In Jude 1, verse 11, Jude echoes this sentiment, associating Balaam with the selling of one's soul for financial gain. And Jesus, as he speaks through John, in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14, there are some among you at Pergamon who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. And that's exactly what Balaam does after all of this account in chapter 25 of the book of Numbers. 24,000 children of Israel are killed because they have been enticed to eat food offered to idols and to enjoy sexual relationship with the people of the world. And God caused 24,000 to die. Everything that's said about Balaam is bad. Why? Not because he didn't speak the truth when God told him, but because, let me tell you, in the first place, his heart was not in it. I want to learn, help us to learn some lessons today. From God is God. God is not man. God wants you to serve Him, but He wants you to serve Him with a true heart. He wants me to preach because I love Him. He wants the elders to be elders because they love the Lord and not the position. He wants the deacons to be servants of the Lord because they really want to serve. He wants every teacher, He wants every man, every woman, every child to serve Him because they really want to serve Him. Not because of what you might get out of it, because of your service. Is your heart right with God? In our service, Balaam certainly was not. Balaam wanted that which he could get for doing something that God would not allow him to do. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, we have an example. You remember when the Bible tells us that one was to be appointed to take the place of Saul. And Samuel came to the house of Jesse. And whenever all the sons of Jesse were passed before him, he could say, none of these are the ones that God has chosen. Do you have another? And the answer is, there's a young lad out feeding now or taking care of the sheep. And the Bible says he was sent for. And then God said through Samuel, this is he. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on your heart. Why? Because God is God. He's looking at you in my heart. In your heart, what kind of heart do we have? In Matthew 22, the Bible tells us that we must love God with all of our heart and our soul and mind, with everything within us. Why? When we surrender ourselves to Him, we belong to Him. We want to serve Him. Why? Because we love Him. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as your labor is not in vain in the Lord, do it. Why? Because God is God, and we're serving Him because we really want to serve Him sincerely from the heart. Number two. Lesson number two from Balaam was, he wanted the praise of King Balak and also the praise of God. Sounds familiar, doesn't it, from John chapter 12, where the Bible says that Jesus says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on Him. Well, if you believe on Him, what will you do? You'll confess Him. You'll serve Him. You'll want to serve Him. Why? Because you're a servant of the Lord. And the Bible says, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Are we like that? Are we really? Do we want to be exalted and praised by men? And we esteem that of greater importance than the praise of God. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one, despise the other. We cannot. Please understand. God is God. God has said, you cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. It can't be done. Why? You'll love one, hate the other. Remember the story about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. What did they really want? Sure, their land was sold. Sure, they got something for it. But they lied about what they gave to the Lord's church, to the people of God. They simply lied about it. And you remember both of them were killed that day. What did they really want? The praise of men instead of the praise of God. There was a young man that came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 16. In verse 22, or rather 19, verse 16. And when he came to Jesus, he said, good master, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? Listen to me, folks. What is he saying? Lord, I'm ready to do whatever you tell me to do. Just tell me so I may have eternal life. But he wasn't ready. And Jesus said, thou will be perfect. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. What happened? The Bible tells us that this young man turned away from following Jesus. He turned aside. He turned away. What did he really want? He wanted to serve the Lord the way he wanted to serve him. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. And just like many of us. And yet, it cost him his soul. He loved his money more than he loved God. God is God. We can't fool him. He knows who we are. He reads our hearts, our motives, what we really want. And when we say we want to serve him above everything else and we don't do it, what do? We lie. No wonder when Balaam said, God is not a man that he should lie, or the Son of Man that he should repent of his sins. And what he says he will do, what he speaks, it will come to pass. Why? Because God is God. Thirdly, his eternal soul was at stake. Balaam, you hear what's coming out of your mouth? Balaam, God is speaking. Won't you listen to yourself to what you're saying? Yet, he still wanted that reward. He wanted to be honored. And though he makes this beautiful statement in Numbers 23 and verse 10, who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? The answer, he says, let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his. He wanted that, but he wasn't going to get it. Why? Because he thought of God as someone that he could serve the way he wanted to, and that'd be all right with God. Don't let that tragedy happen to you and to me. Just like the 24,000 of the Israelites that were killed because they turned away to idolatry because of Balaam telling Balak, how really to get him. Your soul is more important and mine is too. You and I have to be truthful with ourselves. You and I have to know our own hearts. In 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5, examine yourself. God has said, put yourself in the mirror. Look at yourself. How do you appear? What would you say about yourself? Are you really serving God today from a heart that really wants to do everything that God wants? This man's soul was at stake as well as ours. Satan, though, hasn't changed his tactics. The Bible tells us he'll try that backdoor approach to you and I. Don't listen to that which is spoken. Don't pay attention to that, but look. If it's true and it comes from God, then God is God, and God does not lie. He's not the Son of Man that He should repent of any of His sins, because He has no sins. Proverbs 14, verse 12, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways that lead you to die forever. Jeremiah 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Then why won't man listen to the way that God says? O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. In Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author. Now listen. The author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Balaam, you said God is not a man. Then why won't you listen to Him? If God be God, and He is. Fourthly, God is to be glorified and respected as being the true and the living God. His name is holy and reverent. You have your Bible in Psalms 111, verse 9. He sent redemption to His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy, holy, reverend, reverend is His name. God is God. Holy, reverend is His name. Should a preacher or minister be called reverend? Absolutely no. Why? Only one time in the Bible does the word reverend is it used. It's used with reference to God. And there's not a one of us preachers that can even begin to get close to the holiness that God possesses. Do not call people reverend. That is God's name. Holy and reverend is His name. And by the way, don't curse using God's name. If you do, stop it. Quit it. Why? I want to tell you something. The name of God is real, real precious. God is. In Exodus 20 and verse 7, one of the commandments brought over even to the new. In Exodus 20 and verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Holy and reverent is His name. Watch what you say. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh His name in vain. Isn't that a statement? When I hear people using the name of God, and they use it, I'm just like cursing. God's name? Who is holy? God. God is holy. He's reverent. Deuteronomy 5, verse 11 uses the same phraseology. His name, God's name, show reference to it. Hold it not in vain. Because you see, God is God. All of us need to remember that. Number one, remember that God is not a man. Number two, that no man can see God and live. I was thinking as preparing this sermon about Moses. God said Moses was a great servant of His. He loved him. And when Moses says, now I'm going to be leading the children of Israel, but show me your glory. God said to Moses, Moses, I can't show you my face. Why? God said, because no man can see my face and live. Now, my friend, We ask the question, why? First of all, Timothy answers that. I read that Paul does to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible. You can't see something that is invisible. The only wise God, be honor, glory forever and ever. Amen. God is God. He's invisible. But in the second place, if a person were to look upon the face of God, the eternal God has told us, He will die. Moses, I'm not going to, you can't do it. For if I show you all my goodness and my glory, Moses, you're going to die. But here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to take my hand and put it over you in the cleft of the rock. And as I pass by, when I remove my hand, you'll be able to see my back part, but not my front. And I honestly believe what he's talking about. You'll see some of the glory of God. But if a man were to see all the glory of God, face to face with God, he cannot live. Moses saw that. And that was enough. Yes, I suggest to you in the third place that God is God. And His thoughts, God's ways, His doing is not man's. Some of you are suffering physically. Some of you had bad news about your health. Some of you had good news about your health. And I told my class this morning about Neil Hagwood over at Weatherly, where I worked for 18 and a half years. He's one of the elders. He's been told, the family has, he only has a few days, maybe a couple of weeks to live. What a shock. My friend will tell you something this morning. God does not lie. Things will happen to people upon this earth. Yes, He hears our prayers. But I want to tell you to remember this. God's ways are not mine. When I prayed so diligently and my wife prayed diligently that our daughter with cerebral palsy would be healed, that she'd be able to run someday, that she'd be able to live as a normal life as possible. I want to tell you, it was always, God, Your will be done. She still is afflicted at 45 years old with cerebral palsy. You know that? Some of us have got to go through different things. And I want to suggest to you this morning, it doesn't mean God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care. But be assured that God's ways are right for the child of God. I want you to hold on to it. Romans 8 verse 28. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Get right with God. Do God's will. Serve Him faithfully. And when the end comes, you'll be able to rejoice that you're going home. That you're going to meet the Lord. Because you know that your life is right with God. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 are two verses of Scriptures that I really think we all ought to hold on to. God said, My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Sin promises you all kinds of things in this old life, but it can't deliver. Romans 15 verse 4 says, Whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope? Will we listen to God? Will we do what God says? Will we walk humbly with God with the right motive, a good heart, faithfully doing His will, serving the King of kings and the Lord of lords, because we know God is God? We can't fool Him. He knows us, and we know ourselves. The end result of Balaam was that he died as a soothsayer, separated from God. Don't let that happen to you. I pray that it won't happen to me. That's why if you're not a Christian, you need to believe in Jesus. Repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized, because that's what God says through His Son for us to do. In the book of Acts, chapter 22 and verse 16, Saul was stolen, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Will you do it? Will you do what God says? Will you arise and be baptized today because God said it? You know that's what He wants you to do. And if you're a child of God, you're not ready to meet Him face to face in death. And you're not ready to meet Him because your life is not what God wants it to be. It's really not what you want it to be. You can make all the changes right now. You can acknowledge your sins. You can say, I've sinned, and ask God to forgive you, and let us pray with you and for you. I hope the lesson about Balaam will stick in your mind, but not only in your mind, but in mine too, that I'll always remember God is God. Where I am, I cannot escape the presence of God. What I do, God knows it all. Am I ready to meet Him today? We're singing this beautiful song to encourage you. God is God. He's promised to forgive us, promised to be with us, help us through all our sorrows. Then won't you cast your care upon Him, for truly He cares for you. Won't you be obedient to His will, just remembering you're serving Him and He's looking at your heart, and He wants a heart that serves Him right. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come and obey Him while together we stand.